everybody. I'm Pat Lynn.
And I'm Isaac Johnson.
Awesome. And we're your hosts for Take the Word for It. Excited to be here today. Take the Word for It, our show. We talk about current issues that are going on in life, things you have to deal with as a believer, as you are walking this life and this life journey with the Lord. And we try to bring some biblical perspective to those things. And so, man, we're excited to be with you and that you're with us. And we've been spending this entire season, I think this is episode 7 or 8 of this season, talking about marriage. And so marriage is a pretty significant piece of life. As a matter of fact, people say, you know, picking a spouse is like the most important decision that you could possibly make, you know, in your life, and a huge step. And so we want to supply you with some tools to help make your marriage better. And if you're not married yet, to prepare you for marriage. And maybe if you've, you know, been through a marriage, you're like, hey, I'm scared to do this again. Here's some tools that you can use to better yourself. And so, Isaac, we're talking about a pretty important thing. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about listening as kind of, and the main focus of seeing it as listening is actually more loving than talking in marriage.
Oh, man, I love that idea. We'll get into that in 2 seconds. Just a couple of things that I always forget to throw out. If you end up with a question at the end of the show, or you just want to contact us, or maybe have an idea for something you'd like us to talk about, you can email us at taketheWordForIt@gmail.com. And then also coming up October 12th, the weekend of October 12th, we have a marriage conference that will be conducted by our very own Isaac Johnson. And Isaac is like, man, I just love that you do this, Isaac. It's such a wonderful thing for married couples that you do, and you have such a gift for it. And so, you know, my wife and I, Jennifer, have been to Isaac's conference 2 or 3 times and take away something every time, because it's never quite the same. He's always introducing, you know, new material, same foundational principles, but new material. And and Isaac, you're funny and you're fun.
And thank you.
We just enjoy you. And so, hey, one of these weeks, I'm going to put up some registration information. It's probably a good idea to get going, but we try to keep the cost inexpensive so anybody can come. And then we host it here in a huge home right on the beach, open area. And I don't know how, you know, from last time that you did that with us, Isaac, how would you describe that setting for people, just if they've never been to where we did it and we're going to do it again? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's a great setting because it's like you said, right on the water, but it's also close enough to town that you can get whatever you want. You don't feel like you're out in the boonies, but you feel in a positive way secluded, like purposely secluded. So it's very peaceful and just a nice, I mean, the people, you guys, and I know your father-in-law and mother-in-law do a great job of just hosting it, and just people just feel very loved. And I think it's the 21st of October.
Yep, so. 21st. Did I 21st. Do something different?
Oh, I heard the 12th. Maybe I heard it wrong, but 21st.
Oh.
12th is fine, and we won't be there, but you're welcome to do that.
Well, I'm severely dyslexic, so it's possible that I said that. All right, so today we're talking about listening. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely known as more of a talker than a listener. Not a great aspect as you're going through life, when people frequently tell you, hey, you should listen more, you know, and so that, you know, that's happened to me a few times. But, you know, being an active listener, I mean, it's a pretty important piece of not just marital relationships, but, you know, relationships at all. And I'm betting, I know that you're a good listener, and like you actually get professionally paid to listen to people, but there's got to be a story from your life where it just didn't happen in your marriage. You know, something was like off, or you didn't hear your wife right. You got anything so that the rest of us just can feel normal about the fact that when we don't do it right, it's, you know, it's okay.
Well, one that stands out is when my daughter was younger, my oldest daughter, Hannah, and it was conference week at school, so the time to pick her up was different, and my wife had to work on a different schedule, so I was supposed to pick her up, and somehow, you know, what my wife said and what I heard, we were off by hours, and by the time the school got a hold of me, so I was counseling, and so I couldn't be disturbed, you know, and so by the time they got a hold of me, I got there, my daughter was at the flagpole, which I was a little disappointed. They just stuck her out by the flagpole, and the school had been out for 2 hours. She was in tears. It took years for her to forgive me. I mean, it was, to this day, she'll still remind me of the fact that I still forgot her at school, and so that might scar her for life, but that was a situation where, you know, looking back, I can see where my wife had said something. I just said, yeah, you know, kind of thing, and just walked off probably like I normally have. And then it had tragic consequences. So, like, probably for my daughter more than anybody else, but I remember almost getting in an accident trying to get there once I found out that she was left at the flagpole, you know, because the teachers were going home and it was half day. And so that was my claim to fame.
Oh man, I remember that as a kid, you know, like, you know, we grew up in the stage where you didn't have cell phones or, you know, pagers mm-hmm. were just coming out when we were kids. And so, you know, for you and me, when school got out, if your ride wasn't there, it was, hey, how do I find a quarter and go to a pay phone, or can I get into the office till is it open so I can call my parents? And then half of the time, my parents would be unreachable. So, man, my siblings and I would spend like hours sitting on the curb outside kicking rocks, you know, waiting for our parents to show up if they got something, you know, communication-wise, you know, done incorrectly there. But I'm thankful for your story because it means that today I don't have to throw any of my stories where I did something ridiculous, which if you know me, it's totally possible that I could do something ridiculous and not have heard things well or not really been listening. One of my favorite actually stories as a teacher, I will throw this out, I'll protect my marriage today, but I coached basketball at a high school for a number of years, and there were 1 year I was coaching the C team, which is like the kids who are barely in the program, right? It's not the varsity or the JV. Mm-hmm. Kids that need a lot of work. And so we had a couple of kids that, you know, weren't particularly keen on following instructions. And I remember we were playing a game that was like 3 hours from the school. And so I was in a super hurry to get back once we were done and rounded up my kids. And one of the kids on my team was actually the manager. And I asked the kids, hey, do we have everybody on the team? And one of the kids said, yes. And as we're like leaving, there was just a miscommunication in the fact that I hadn't actually counted the manager. And so, my boss, who is the head of the school, calls me, as I'm driving out the parking lot in a minibus and is like, hey, you got everybody that's supposed to be on your bus? And I'm like, yep. He goes, why do I see your manager running across the parking lot carrying a ball bag? And I'm like, well, great question, sir. I'll stop now and go pick up that child and make sure that his parents aren't mad at me for leaving him 3 hours from home. But you know, we get in a rush sometimes, or we're thinking about other things, you know, or someone's talking to us and you just think, hey, it's the average everyday thing, and are actually saying something important to you, you know, and you can just, it can go in one ear and out the other, right? Especially, you know, I know you see this if you're a parent and you have little kids, you know, you say something to your kids and you expect them to follow through with it, but their mind is on something else, like a toy that they're playing with or something they're drawing. And you just literally can watch your ears go in, you know, your words go in one ear and out the other, you know, or they say, yes, daddy, and then continue doing the same thing they were doing because they didn't actually listen. They didn't actually process what you were trying to tell them. There's a difference between hearing it, listening, and following through. And man, my favorite book of the Bible by far is James. And if you've never read the Book of James, I highly encourage you to read it. Get through there and read it. James is a short book. And James, here's the cool thing about James. Most of the evidence points to the idea that the James who wrote this book was James, Jesus' little brother. And so he's a disciple of the Lord. And, you know, he's the one that's standing by Mary as Jesus is crucified. And Jesus says to him, take care of your mother, you know. And then he actually writes, James is probably the earliest book written in the New Testament, written sometime around 60 AD. We think that James died in 62 AD, so sometime right around there. But he becomes an incredible follower of his brother, and his book is just visual. I love, as you're reading James, that there are just, you know, he talks using pictures. He talks about, you know, controlling your tongue and the fact that your tongue is like a rudder or a bit that you would put in a horse's mouth. It can turn, you know, the path of everything that you do. And he gives a pretty, like, compelling argument on listening. James 1:19, it says this. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. You should be slow to speak. I think a lot of us get this backwards sometimes. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. And he says, and slow to become angry, because the human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires for us, right? The goal is to be adhering to the likeness of Christ, and that we're growing towards the likeness of Christ every day in this process. And that as that's happening, you know, that our anger and our frustrations don't actually produce that righteousness. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that God planted in you, which can save you. And then he says this, and this is kind of off the topic, but I so love it too. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself, by meaning like thinking that you know better, or you've heard it and you don't need to do what it says. And then he says, do what it says, right? So follow through. So scripture, you know, I think this is some great advice just in terms of relationally, that, hey, when conversations are happening, you need to be listening. You need to be quick to listen and slow to speak so that you can think through what's going to be coming out of you. So I just want to ask you, Isaac, a few questions for today. But if communication is a key thing in marriage, what role does listening actually play in that?
Well, it's a good question, because a lot of times we think, you know, how much you're saying to your spouse is what's helping. But it's really what they're hearing. And listening, first and foremost, like we talked about at the beginning, is just, it helps our spouse feel loved. People don't say, oh, I felt so cared for in my time of crisis because you talked to me for 3 hours. But it was because you just sat there with me and you just listened to my pain. So it sends the message that our spouses, that we have time for them, that we want to know what their needs and desires are, that we are willing to temporarily set aside our own agenda to prioritize theirs. And I think that is critical. You know, when you have somebody who's, you know, when you're married to somebody who can do that, you just feel really cared for, because we just instinctively know that listening is so much harder than talking.
Okay, so let's say that I'm a terrible listener. Like, and this isn't, you know, we haven't prepped for this at all. This is just off the top of my head. But what are some ways that I can improve my listening skills? How do I become a better listener? You know, as someone else is starting to talk, what are some things I could be doing to make sure that I'm actively actually listening to what they're saying?
Yeah, there's a few things that I think we want to be practicing. And the first one is just patience, because when we're listening, our tendency is to be thinking about what we want to say next. And what I think we really want to practice, and I know I've had to do this with counseling for years, is just, that's not going to do them any good. I might have something brilliant, but they're not ready to hear it. And so just being able to display with your tone, your body language, that you're going to give them as much time as they need. And so I think that first thing is, when somebody's listening to you and you could just tell, they, you know, I've had people, they're just like, you're the most important person on the face of the planet in that moment, and they're not in any hurry. You know, so that's the first thing. Another one is just verbalizing genuine interest. So a lot of people, they look like they're listening, but they're just kind of nodding, they're sleepy, but saying things like, wow, I can't believe that, or, well, what did you, you know, what did that person say next? Or, you know, they're showing with their tone, with their responses that they're actively engaged in what you're saying. And they're being patient, but now they're really engaging in that. And then another one is just ask good follow-up questions. People love to be asked questions. Research shows this. And so being able to say things like, well, you know, what do you think you want to do about this situation? Maybe they're talking about a hard thing, or how do you feel about that? Like, or what did you do in that moment? You know, and trying to avoid yes or no questions, but open-ended questions that invite that person to deeper conversation. And especially in marriage, being able to say that to your husband or your wife, and just you're showing them genuine interest. And then when you're asking them questions, it feels like you were listening, especially if you're asking questions about what they were talking about, you know. And then the last couple things is just, you know, being alert, you know, making sure that you're turning towards them, looking at them, trying to avoid being sleepy. You know, people can just tell, stop, you know, don't look at your watch or the clock, but just visibly being alert. And then, you know, another one too is just remembering details. My dad was good at this, where when you're in a marriage and you can pick up a conversation and you can say, oh, I remember 2 weeks ago that you had this meeting coming up. How did that go yesterday? Or you know, or keeping track of the drama at your husband or wife's work, and just feeling like, you know, like I know what the soap opera is because I've been paying attention. And the very last thing that we don't think about when it comes to listening, but it's super important, and it would have saved my bacon with my story, was seek clarification. Just simply say, if you're not sure, ask that person, here's what I was hearing, but is that what you were saying? Because a lot of times we'll just kind of go, we think we've got it figured out, but people appreciate it when we speak it back. In fact, research shows that when when you're at the restaurant and they speak your order back to you, you know, that's not just for accuracy. People like to hear their words spoken back to them. It makes them feel like you were paying attention, and it feels like you cared that things were accurate, clear. You know, so those, practicing those things can be helpful.
So if I was going back and just taking notes over this real quick, there is a lot of really good information in there, but if I was just going to bold that in order and maybe just do one word for each, and what would those be?
Patience, genuine interest, follow-up questions, alert, details are those kind of things. So and the biggest of all of those, if you could do nothing else, patience.
That's
patience. When we know somebody is impatient with us and listening to us, we can tell, because what we feel is they just want to say their part, and it doesn't feel like they're really caring about us. And in a world that's so fast paced right now, giving somebody your time is priceless.
Yeah, it is. I also love what you said about just summarizing or repeating what they said, you know, and obviously if you've had kids, this is something you've done with your kids when you ask them, hey, I want you, maybe you give them two instructions, right? And not sure they're going to remember both of them. So you ask your kid to go outside to the deck or the play area and pick up this toy and that toy and bring them in, right? And then your kid says, okay, and takes off and comes back without them. And so then you come to them again, you ask them again, and you say, hey, maybe can you tell me what I asked you to do? Because if someone can repeat something to you, you know, in their own words, you know that they've digested what you've said. And so so I'd say it's probably pretty important just in terms of communication with your spouse. And oftentimes my wife has asked me, hey, can you tell me what I just said to you? And it's funny because even sometimes I'll repeat it to her, and you know, she'll say, no, that's way off. And so, like, what I thought I heard her say was not the same thing. And this kind of brings me to a different, you know, question. The world may not believe this, but I know that we do, and Scripture certainly teaches that men and women are built differently, right? Mm-hmm. And think differently. And I mean, this is apparent from the time that kids are, you know, just learning to walk around and do things. I'll just give you an example. I have two little girls and one little boy, and my girls are 5 and 3, and my boy is 1 and a half. And so we have a truck that's a semi truck with a tractor on the back of a trailer that's a wooden toy that a awesome gentleman in our community made for us, handmade. It's just incredible. He painted it, hand painted it. You know, it's probably 3 feet long, and it looks like a Mack truck with this tractor on the back. And mm-hmm. And it was so cool. And we were over at his house one day, and we just had our second daughter. So my oldest daughter was 2, and she picked it out, and he autographed it for me, and we brought it home. Well, neither one of my girls ever play with the thing, right? Like, it's just been sitting on a shelf for, you know, a few years and doing nothing. And they've got tons of Barbies and makeup stuff, and they want to play with those things and put them on. And man, we brought that thing down the other day, and my little boy has not put it down. He sits on it. He's rolling it around, smashing it into the wall, you know, and wants to go outside and hold the steering wheel. And boys and girls, they're just innately different. They just are. And so I would think that this would roll into our communication styles, right? You've probably noticed, I don't know if you've ever done a small group with boys, like a mentoring group. I've done a lot of them over the years, and trying to get words out of teenage boys, or even sometimes older men, unless they're, you know, telling you a fishing story, is, you know, like pulling teeth. It's almost impossible to get anything that's actually emotionally significant out of them in a public setting, right? Unless they really mm-hmm. trust you. But you go to a girl's small group, and they're like, it's all coming out. I mean, like, everything is just, you know, coming out. And so I would think that would be different. As men and women communicate, Isaac, is there a difference between what a man is looking for typically out of a conversation and what a woman is looking for out of a conversation?
Yeah, you'll see that women are generally more detail involved. They want to tell a story. If you read a book written by a woman versus a man, women want a lot more. You'll see the setting. I read like Anne Montgomery. She wrote a lot of Anna Green Gables stuff and everything like that. And she'll spend like a chapter talking about a garden. Then you read Tom Clancy, and it's just get to the point. You know, move on, action. So that when we talk about listening and marriage and stuff, sometimes guys can, if we're not careful, we can be, you know, just get to the point, and our impatience, men, we have 20 times testosterone as women too. And that is the hormone of aggression. And so we can often be very impatient and show that to her. Women tend to be just more willing to move towards pain. They've done studies where, you know, even at grade school level, when a girl is hurting, other girls will come and want to help. And when a boy is hurting, the boys are like, hey, get up yourself. Like, I'm not going to show vulnerability. So, so the genders do, when it comes to listening, men really have to work on patience, leaning in. We have to pay attention to our body language, because we can unintentionally look like we're bored or distracted. The way our brain is set up, there's a bigger gap between our right and left hemisphere. And so we don't connect with the feelings and the facts as intertwining those things as easily, where women do. They're able to really hear a lot more. So very often men feel very defeated. If you've ever been in a conversation with your wife and it comes down to remembering what you talked about 2 weeks ago, she's generally gotcha. You know,
sure.
She'll get all the details right. And I just tell my wife, I know you're right. I can't remember that you're right, but I know you are, because we've been at this enough to know that if there was video evidence, you got me, because she can her brain is just set up to remember those details because they matter to her. So, so men really need to, I've had to learn that if those details matter to my wife, I have to learn to make them matter to me.
Okay, so there's two sides to this then. If Scripture says that when you are joined together with your spouse, the two of you become one flesh, right? Then on both sides there has to be grace. So for the ladies, there needs to be some grace towards your husband, understanding that he is a man and not built the same way you are, right? And that that maybe he's not going to remember those details, and it's not something that you have to take personally. You know, maybe he's not doing it on purpose. Certainly there have been times in history when he's done it on purpose. I'm just saying there's a possibility he's trying and not able to follow through, right, in terms of remembering those things completely. And some that's really important to you might not innately have been important to him. And then the other side of that coin is, gentlemen, just realizing that your wife is built differently than you are. And so trying to lean in to hear what she's saying and to, you know, be attentive and paying attention to that and really understanding that these things are very important to her. And so if both of you are able to do those things well, then your relationship, I would assume, would, you know, that's going to have great impact on your relationship in terms of how you build each other up, and really probably going to feel very secure in each other as you are learning to do those things well. Would you say that's right, Isaac?
I would. And I would just say, for men especially, since research shows men set the tone in the marriage and women tend to kind of react to that tone. So guys, if you can become a good listener, and really patience is the biggest thing. Women, I've had so many women over the years, it's funny, they'll say, when we were dating, he hung on my every word. And I said, yeah, because he was thinking about how to get you. and that, right or wrong, that's just how a guy is. He's goal-oriented. And then a lot of times guys get married and they stop finding their wife fascinating. And that is something we need to really be careful of, is like, you know, she's the class we never pass. We have to continue to – she is a deep cauldron, and you'll never quite fully understand her. So God gives us a woman to be kind of like the same as God, where we're never going to fully understand, but we're going to, she just keeps, there's so much there. And a man can only get that by really listening to her heart and hearing her words and her emotions. And when you do that, man, women just come alive. It just does something in them where they feel, I've had so many women say, when my husband really listens to me, that is when I'm the most attracted to him.
You know? Okay, well, let me ask you this then. I mean, I think that's a hugely powerful statement. When you're really a good listener and listening to your wife, that's when she's the most. And then, hey, guys, if you're listening, trying to figure out how to make your wife more attracted to you, or you know, how to maybe set a different tone so that next weekend turns out better than this weekend did. There's a place to start, right? But there's got to be some maybe negative filters that prevent us from really hearing what our spouse is saying, right? I would think there'd be things from, you know, our lives that sometimes prevent us from hearing what they're actually saying. What might those be?
The first one is just, oh, here we go again, you know, because we've been married. You've had this conversation before, and your belief is you've already fast forwarded to the end, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Here we're talking about the same thing. And the truth is, no experience is ever the same twice. And even if you got to talk about something two or three times, you're going to talk about it from different perspectives. And so being able to, I tell couples all the time, you want to give your spouse permission to rehash something as many times as it takes to get to the root of it. And that's very hard to do. It takes a lot of patience. But again, you're leaning into that. Just like you could hear a sermon, you're like, oh, I've heard this. They've spoken on James before, but maybe not from a perspective that you've thought of. And I just heard a sermon yesterday at Easter, blew me away. I had read that passage 100 times and didn't pick up on this thing. And it was a game changer. So that's a big one, is just not letting those previous experiences, those previous conversations color the current one. And then the other one is basically a couple other things, is just also don't be reactive. When we're listening, a lot of times we want to, if they're in a bad mood or they're frustrated, we want to like react to their mood rather than hearing their heart and their words. you know, and I'll do that. My wife is frustrated. She was the other day. She was tired. She was struggling. And I didn't like how that mood felt. And I had to just tell myself,
sure.
just relax. Like, it's, that's her mood. That's not your mood. And so just hear her, be patient.
That is so
thoughtful.
Hard to do.
It is.
That's so hard to do, because the first thing that I do when I can see that my wife is, you know, mad, or when I perceive that she's mad at me, is instantly get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And gosh, that's a great piece of advice. Hard to do.
It is.
Sorry.
And the truth is about that one too, is we kind of believe somehow that it's a false sense of control. Like, oh, I must be the problem, you know, because then maybe I can be the solution. And so there's a weird part of us that wants to take responsibility for their mood, and we got to just really push against that. And then just the last thing is just your beliefs. You all have core beliefs, things, life experiences that you've had way before your spouse came into your life, and those color how you hear things. And so they might start talking to you about politics or sports or relationships, and your brain's already reverting back to, without even meaning to, things from your childhood or whatever, where you already had a negative perception about that. And that can, again, cause you to just tune out or react in a negative, like an angry way, where you're punishing your partner for the things that happened to you a long time ago. So because it triggers something. So you really got to be aware of your beliefs, you know, because I can have lots of couples who have different opinions on politics, different even opinions on, they believe the core things about their faith, but maybe how they celebrate Easter or do different things like that could be very different. And so don't let your personal beliefs get in the way of being able to hear their heart. And you see Jesus doing a great job of that in the Gospels, where, you know, you have the, he's able to just really hear them, even though you've got people he's talking to from all different walks of life.
Sure.
So those are just some things that, you know, being aware of those filters, and I always say it's not what they're saying, it's how you're hearing it that's going to matter the most. Because they'll say, if you just said it softer, and sometimes I've had people like, no, I'm working with a couple, and she's like, you're yelling at me. And I'm like, he is not yelling. But your perception, because of your past, is believing this thing that's not true. So how are you hearing them is more important, really, than what they're saying. And that really takes, again, goes back to that word, patience, to just be soft. Remind you, your marriage is for life. That's why God gave you a lifetime with this person. Why are you in such a hurry?
Yeah, the other thing it does, too, is it puts the responsibility back on you. Because one thing we love to say is, well, if you, and I think you've said this, but if you hadn't said it to me that way, I wouldn't be reacting this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, hey, I'm responsible for what I do. And by the way, Isaac, I just have to tell you, I hate that you said this, because I love to be angry, you know, because of the way somebody said something to me. So I'm just going to not let my wife listen to this podcast. Okay, I will. I'll let her listen to the podcast. But it's a great reminder for me, you know, that God holds us accountable for what we do and not how someone else acts. And so so what are you doing, you know, with the information you're given? And people communicate in tons of different ways, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, your body language says a ton, and sometimes it says more than your words. But the person, what you're saying is how the person who's responding to that body language or the words that come out, handles it, and what comes out of their mouth is what they are responsible for. And so you got to own your actions. And what's the Lord, you know, require of us? He says, hey, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's straight out of James. We just read it in our verses today. And that's a great reminder. And I think all of those things are wonderful tools to help us to better communicate in our marriages. Marriages become stronger if marriages are, instead of struggling, thriving in our country, things will turn around, and hopefully that just starts with you and your marriage and me and my marriage, and, you know, anybody that's listening, those things are strong and setting a good example for others, pointing others to the Lord, the grace that, that God gives each and every one of us. And so, do you have anything else for the good of the order today? I think this was some great stuff on listening, but anything to send us off with?
No, I just think, you know, if you struggle with listening, and if you don't know that you're struggling with listening, just ask the person that you're talking to, and they'll let you know. And so that would be the thing. If I were to lead people, this is a tough thing to do, but ask your spouse, do you think I am a good listener? And you will probably get an answer that you didn't expect, but it could create the opportunity for some really good growth there.
Man, that's awesome. All right, everybody, this has been Pat Lynn and Isaac Johnson. Hey, we love that you listened with us today. Hopefully some of these tools you're able to take away. And hey, why not share them? Why not share them with somebody else that you know that, you know, maybe they're struggling in their marriage or just have a hard time with communication, and give you some communication tips. We'd love for you to share the show with someone else. And once again, if you have any comments or questions for us, you can send us an email at take the word for it, all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. And until next time, be blessed.